Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and turn to Jonah chapter number one. Jonah chapter number one. We're going to pick up with the story of Jonah. Call him the prodigal prophet, if you would, running from God, running from what God wanted him to do. Tell you a story. I got a picture of a kiss cam couple here we can put up for you. I don't know those people, okay? I have no idea who they are. But I want to tell you a story about a kiss cam, a guy that the kiss cam wasn't so good to him. He was actually a person who had a warrant out for his arrest. And he actually got put up on the kiss cam screen. And unfortunately, an officer and his parole officer were at the baseball game. And they recognized him. And so at the end of the game, they were at his seat and they handcuffed him and took him away. That's quite a story, isn't it? That would be my luck, I guess. But I'm not running from the law, all right? So don't get that, all right? But Jonah, he's running from God. And he's trying to get away as fast as he can. He does not want to go to Nineveh at all. And he is going to not be very successful at getting away from the Lord. Think of all of the times and all, sometimes we think that all is well as we run from him or as we tell God no. Sometimes we think all is well, and then all of a sudden, bam, God shows us that all is not well and that he does want our attention and he will do what is necessary to get it. I don't know if you have ever had a time when our wrong attitude or has caught up with you or our wrong behavior just seems to catch up with us and seems like there's no really way out. You remember the saying, you can run, but you cannot hide. That's very, very true with Jonah and the Lord. But it's also true of you and I and the Lord. Here's what has happened. God said to Jonah, go. And Jonah said to God, no. And there they are. They have a standoff, and things are not going to go well, if you would, for Jonah here. Well, let's look at the scriptures, Jonah chapter 1, and I want us to read some of the passage here. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Verse number 3. But Jonah arose to what? To flee, to run, not to go. Not to go where God told him, to go his way. The Bible says, but Jonah arose not to go and to speak, not to go and to cry out to Nineveh about their sin, but he arose to run, to flee, to Tarshish, to Spain, to get as far away from Nineveh as he possibly could, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, and so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah, in other words here, he resigns. If you would, you ever seen them fish stickers you put on your car? Jonah has taken the fish bumper sticker off his car. He has got rid of that. And he's thrown that in the trash. And he doesn't want anything to do with that anymore. He gave all his old sermons away. Just so you know, I did something a little silly. Right before I came here in like May, they had a trash cleanup day or whatever in our town. And I had about 8 boxes of sermons. And I'm like, oh, I'm never going to use these again. I threw them away. So all the messages you guys are hearing, those are new. All right? Start it all over. Okay? But Jonah, he's like, God, I'm out of it. I don't want to go. And so I quit. And he gives them all away. I quit, God. And God doesn't accept Jonah's resignation, though. I want you to learn a lesson. If you want to jot it down, it's in the notes there if you want it. But we better be very careful about telling God what we will do. You see, Jonah is trying to tell the Lord, I don't want to do that. He didn't want to go to Nineveh, which is where Mosul is in Iraq. He did not want to go there. And he told the Lord no, and he ran in the other direction. Well, look at verses 4 and 5 here, 4 through 6. We're going to have a little prayer meeting. In verse number 4, the Bible says, but the Lord sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship was about to be broken up. It was about to be destroyed in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea. Now in verse number 5, the Bible says, then the mariners, or the sailors if you would, they were afraid. Now you know that this had to be quite a storm for professional sailors to be afraid. It was a terrible storm. God brought a terrible storm upon this ship because he was going to get a hold of Jonah. And it says that, and every man, he cried out to his God and threw the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten the load. But Jonah had gone down into the lowest parts of the ship, and he had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came to him and said to him, what do you mean, sleeper? I love that, sleeper. Isn't that funny? What do you mean, sleeper? What are you doing? He says, arise and call on your God. Perhaps your God will consider us so that we may not perish. Wow. Do you see that? The pagans here, the unbelieving sailors, they are now praying in the midst of this storm. And guess what? The prophet is sleeping. The unbelievers are praying to their gods, and Jonah is fast asleep. He's got a please do not disturb sign over the door. Right? Please do not disturb, and he's sleeping. Matter of fact, he's snoring. And Jonah is only one. He's the only one who knows God, but he is not speaking to God. Here he is, the only one on the ship that actually knows the one true God, but they're not speaking, or he's not speaking to God. Well, the pagan captain, he has more faith in prayer than even Jonah does. And he says, get up and pray so that your God might save us. Look at another lesson that we can learn. Tragedy oftentimes gets even unbelieving people to pray. I think of the tragedy last Sunday out in Las Vegas, and the tragedies in the hurricanes and all of the things that are going on in the south and the coast, and people losing everything and lots of things. You know what? Tragedy can oftentimes bring people to the place where they pray. And God is using this storm. And he is using it in a powerful way, and he's getting even unbelievers to pray. Well, the captain, he seemed like, salt, if you would, in the wound for Jonah. He comes in and he says, hey, pray so that your God might help us. Pray for mercy, Jonah. Well, mercy is what Jonah doesn't want Nineveh to have. And so he's not really excited about this. Well, let's look at another couple of verses in verse number 7. And the Bible says, and they said to one another, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this trouble has come upon us. Let us cast lots to find out who God's upset with and why we're going through this. And so the Bible says they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Now, can you imagine Jonah sitting there in the midst of a bunch of rough sailors, arms bigger than tree trunks, and he's a little preacher boy, prophet, running from God, and the lots fell on him? Now, look at verse number 8. Then they said to him, please tell us, for whose cause is this trouble upon us? What is your occupation? Well, I was a prophet, but I quit. What's your occupation? And where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Man, they're booming him with questions, aren't they? They're trying to figure this out. And Jonah's sin, it is exposed. It's tragic when believers' sins are exposed to the world. And Jonah's sins are being exposed. Well, I'm from here, and I'm a prophet, and it's not looking so good if he were to answer those questions like that. Well, look at verse number 9. So he said to them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. They're probably thinking, yeah, right. I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. But yet he's running from God. He said, oh, I'm a Hebrew, and I believe in God, and I believe in the Creator of the sea and the dry land. But yet he's running from him. I want you to see something here. Jonah does not want to, and I kind of admire this and respect this about it. He doesn't want to disappoint God. He doesn't want to discredit God in front of these people, in front of the world. The world can see right through what Jonah is doing, and they can see he's being disobedient to God. And at least Jonah has enough respect and reverence for the Lord that he does not deny him. He admits it and so forth. But his testimony wasn't really matching up with his actions, was it? I'm a Hebrew, and I believe in the Lord. I believe in God who created the sea and the dry ground. I'm a believer. Then why are you running? Why has this storm come upon us? Now remember, the storm's still going, and so they're still in a panic here. Verse number 10, the Bible says, then the men were exceedingly afraid, and they said to him, why have you done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. You see that? They knew that. Why is that? Because he had told them. When Jonah got on that ship and was tearing his stuff down to the bottom of the boat, he talked with different sailors along the way, apparently, and he knew, and he had told them that he was running from the presence of God. So when this storm hits, they knew who to look for, and they called him up, and they cast lots, and the lots fell on Jonah. I want you to see something. Unbelievers, they could see Jonah's hypocrisy. They could see it clearly. And Jonah was deceiving nobody but himself. He was only fooling himself. The world exposed his sins. And the world exposes our sins that we oftentimes try to hide. Jonah is running from right. He's running from what God has told him to do, and he doesn't want to do it, and so he's running. Look at verse 11. Then they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us?" Well, that's what they're interested in. How do we take care of this storm here? What do we do with you so that the sea will calm down for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. Not running because of wrong. Jonah is running because he refuses to do right. He's not running because he's wanting to do wrong. He's not running to evil. He's not running to go and do something wrong, but he's running from right. He's running from what God wants him to do. He's refusing to do right. And you see, refusing to do right is wrong. The Bible tells us in the book of James, "Therefore, he that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." That's where Jonah's at. Running is self-centered. Let's look at the next verse or two, verse number 12. And the Bible says, "And he said to them, pick me up and throw me into the sea." Well, don't worry. That's what they're thinking about already, Jonah. But Jonah's like, "Well, pick me up and just throw me overboard. Man, overboard. There you go. Toss me into the Mediterranean Sea. Then the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Well, verse 13. "Nevertheless, the men rowed hard." They were working hard. They were rowing hard to return to the land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Isn't it interesting? Jonah wasn't even worried about their safety. But they were worried about his. He's running. He's running from doing right. And I want you to see this. Running from doing right is always self-centered. It's always self-centered. Running from doing right is always self-centered. It is not submitting. It is refusing to submit to the will of God. Jonah here is willing to die before he would do the right thing. I would be careful about that, because over in John, I believe it is, one of the epistles of John, he says, be careful of that sin unto death. Well, look at verse number 14. "Therefore they cried out to the Lord, and they said, we pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. And do not charge us with innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah. They picked up Jonah and they threw him into the sea. Can you picture that? Bunch of rough, rugged sailors grab that little preacher boy and throw him overboard. And they throw him into the sea, and look at this. "And the sea ceased from its raging." it came calm. It became calm. Those big rough waves, and they could have been huge. As soon as that old preacher boy got tossed overboard and his body hit the water, it calmed down. Can you imagine that? What a message to those sailors. What a powerful message to them of the power and the authority of God. Verse number 16. Then the men feared. You bet they did. They saw this preacher go overboard. He hit the water and the water calmed down. Then the men, they feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Wow! These pagan men are now praying because they saw the hand of God because of disobedient Jonah. Jonah was stubborn. Jonah was rebellious. And Jonah was actually willing to die rather than to obey God. For a believer, walking in disobedience to the Lord, it ends a life of joy. It ends a life worth living. If we're, as a believer, if you're walking in rebellion and stubbornness against God, there's no joy there for you. There's no peace with God. There's constant conviction. Constant conviction of God, the hand of God, constantly working on your heart, dealing with you. And that's where Jonah was at. Rather than die, or rather die, Jonah would rather die than see Nineveh saved. He would actually rather drown in the Mediterranean Sea than to go and preach the gospel to the Ninevites. And I want you to see something. I want you to catch this because this is a huge lesson for us. Many, many miss the good, many miss the good times with God trying to have their own way. I wonder if you were to stop and think about it, are there some things that you're missing out on because you are trying to have it your way rather than God's? I've seen some people make wrong decisions on who they would marry. I have seen some people make wrong decisions on things that they would do or places they would go. Why? Because they were trying to have it their way rather than God's way. That person, you should not marry them. They are not a believer. You don't have anything spiritually in common with each other. I don't care, preacher. We're in love. But you're violating Scripture, God's Word. I don't care. And then they reap the tragedy of a broken marriage or a difficult marriage for the rest of their life because they wouldn't listen to what God's Word says. We could go on and on about all kinds of circumstances and all kinds of things, but God's Word is very clear, very plain. And when we try to run from His Word, we will never enjoy fellowship with Him. We will never enjoy all of the things that He has for us. And many of us, we miss God's biggest blessings because, you know what? We're out running around trying to have our own way instead of just saying, God, I trust You. I humbly submit myself to You. God hasn't forgot where Jonah is. He knows right where he's at. He's bobbing around out in the Mediterranean Sea. We'll see tonight he's going to get swallowed up. You don't want to miss that. You ever see me swallow a whale or a whale swallow me? I haven't. Could be interesting. But Jonah, he's cheapened and he's tossed right overboard. And God can use us for His glory, even in disobedience. That's interesting. Even Jonah, the prophet, in his disobedience, getting cast overboard and the sea calming, God used that to get a hold of the hearts of the pagan sailors, didn't He? Because it says that they all made a sacrifice to the Lord and they took vows. I don't know what all of that means, but maybe it means that, hey, they put some faith into the God of Jonah and made some promises to God. But Jonah, actually in spite of himself, he was a spokesman for God. He didn't even know it, but when they tossed him over that ship and his body is going down the side and it hits the water, he is actually a testimony for God, even in his rebellion. I want you to see this. We may be seen as worthless by the world, but not by God. God can use anything. He would rather use an obedient, humble servant. But if He has to use a rebellious servant, He can. He can use even the rebellious. I wonder what Jonah thought when he hit that water. Do you think Jonah was, you know, when they tossed him over, cannonball? I don't think so. I think he was like, lights are out. This is it. What about you and I today? Maybe God's speaking to you about something. I don't know what it is. Many of you here today, you're believers. You're giving your heart and your life to the Lord. But maybe God's speaking to your heart about something and you're stubbornly saying, you know, no. Maybe it's to share your faith with somebody. Maybe it's to do something else. I don't know. But you say no. And you're busy trying to have your way rather than just say, okay, Lord, this is what You want me to do. I really believe this. I don't have a piece about anything else. This is what You want me to do. I don't know all the ins and outs, but I'm willing to do this. It takes Jonah a while. We'll see it tonight. But it takes Jonah a while to get to that point. But I hope that just from the part that we see this morning, you can understand that no matter who you are, no matter where you are, if God's speaking to you, it is so much better if we will listen, if we will hear what He says, if we will humbly submit to His authority rather than try to run. We cannot run from God. You cannot hide from Him. We could take it right back to that picture of the kiss cam on the screen. God knows exactly where you are. And why do you want to pressure Him? Why do you want to take your chances of what's the Lord going to have to do to get my attention? What is God going to have to do to me to get me to humbly be obedient to Him and to His Word? That's hard. Many times Christians, that's exactly what God wants. He wants us to repent of our stubbornness and humble ourselves and say, Lord, whatever it is You want me to do, I'm willing to do it. then there's another group here. There's only two groups here in the church today. There's the believer and the unbeliever. There may be some that you're an unbeliever. And God is speaking to you. He has convicted you. You know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you need to be saved, that you need to ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. My friend, what is holding you back? What keeps you from... Because once you make that decision, my friend, God will give you, He will transform your life, and you will have joy that you cannot have as long as you run from Him. Would you stand with me this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a moment. As I said, there's really two groups. There's believers and there's unbelievers. And believers, I can simply ask you, are you behaving and living in obedience to the Lord and 100% surrender and commitment to Him? Or are you busy running, trying to have your way? You know, sometimes God does let us run for a while. But sooner or later, He will bring us back and He will have our attention. Maybe you're here this morning and that's your situation. I want to invite you to come and to kneel here at the front. Someone can pray with you if you'd like, or you can pray by yourself. But maybe you need to just come and recommit to the Lord. There are other believers that are here. You're walking with the Lord. You're in true obedience to Him and you just desire to please Him with your life. It might be that the Lord would just have you to step out and to come and maybe lead the way that someone else might make a decision for the Lord. Maybe you just need to come and praise the Lord for the work that He's doing in your life. Maybe there's some here that you need to come and make this your church home. Others, maybe you just need to come and be right with Him. Others, it may be that, you know, God's speaking to your heart. That pounding in your chest is not this preacher. It's actually the conviction of the Holy Spirit. They're saying, won't you be saved? Today is the day of salvation. Won't you be saved? That's the Lord doing that. My friend, don't let something stop you. If you need to be saved this morning, would you come? We will pray with you. We'll show you how you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt if something were to happen to you today, that you would be in heaven. You know, it's sad to me to think about all those thousands of people out in Las Vegas. I'll guarantee you that out of that whole group, there were none of them that thought they would be killed at that concert. And 59 that we know of, or 58 at the concert, never got home. I don't know that they were counting on that. I really doubt that. But it makes you wonder, am I ready? Am I ready to meet the Lord if I were to go home today? So today, I trust that today might be a decision maker for each one of us in one way or another. Father, as we come before You, I thank You, Lord, for the day that You have given to us. I thank You for each one that is here this morning. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts, that, Lord, if You are dealing with us in any way, Lord, I pray that You would help us to step out and to be obedient to You, to Your Word. That, Lord, if there is something that You are putting on our hearts, that we would humble ourselves and step out in obedience and say, Lord, I don't like it, I don't understand it, but Lord, I need to be obedient to You, and Lord, I just need Your help to do that. And I pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen.